This episode of Push Your Freakaway is brought to you by DoorDash. That's right, DoorDash. I love DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and your incoming emails, you've got plenty to take care of. Don't lie to yourself. Give yourself at least one last thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. You want pizza, they want tacos, someone's craving froyo. There's something for everyone at DoorDash. It's super simple. Just go to the DoorDash app. It brings food to your door that you're craving right now. That's it. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with our new, like I'm part of DoorDash, new contactless delivery door drop-off setting. DoorDash is great. I use it all the time. We order in on Friday nights. We're like make a date night out of it. We like pick something on DoorDash, like something we would never usually eat. Order to the house, chow down with DoorDash. So what you have to do to use DoorDash, super simple. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees for their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BSB. That's $5 off your $0 delivery fees. It's a free delivery and your first order. And when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BSB, you get $5 off your first order of $50 or more with DoorDash. Code BSB, don't forget. Big show, Corey Pronman today. Our coworker who ranked the Rangers number one in his organizational rankings. So we're going to have a lot of questions about that and other fun stuff. So stay tuned, and here we go. Here's Mark Messier.
Hi, everybody. It's Mark Messier, and you're listening to Blue Shirts Breakaway, the number one Rangers podcast.
Bushwick Break fans, welcome to another week of the Bushwick Breakaway. I am your host, Ryan Mead, and I'm here with my co-host, Greg Kaplan. Greg, say hello.
Oh, happy days.
Oh, happy days. A little gospel, a little Church of Caco.
It's the dawning. It's the age of Aquarius. Age of Steve Cohen.
Welcome to the number one New York Rangers podcast. But I'd be such a bad friend if I didn't.
Baby, he's just gonna splash so much money that James Dolan's gonna get some of it too, and the Rangers are gonna get more money.
Didn't Dolan get in on the Mets thing for a while?
I think the Mets wanted Dolan to get in on it, and Dolan was like,
"Nah,
no."
Well, my man Dolan might be paying some taxes on MSG soon. So
I know. So
the Rangers, a little bit of trouble.
We'll no, see. The Rangers, that's the thing. Like, you can't spend money in the NHL anyway, yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Doesn't really matter.
That's another story.
Yeah, poor Knicks, huh? We'll see what they do. Knicks are the next team.
Another Knicks.
Knicks team, they have to be rescued. I saw an interesting post on Reddit that I wanted to talk to you about, and I wanted to get your feedback on. No, actually, it wasn't, but we'll get. It's sort of baseball related. Is that weird?
Are you telling me, mm-hmm. Ryan Mead,
yes.
that something besides Steve Cohen happened today?
Honestly, no. Like, nothing happened besides Steve Cohen. Legit. Like, that's probably the number one news, like, in all sports. And like, I don't think there's any, like, what's going on? NHL playing today? I think so. Was it the Stars?
I assume the Stars and Knights are playing today.
Yeah, Stars and Knights playing, and they started right now. They literally just started. So congratulations.
Did you know there was an NBA and NHL game yesterday?
I did know about the NHL game. I had no idea about the NBA game. No, I had no clue.
No clue. Why do people try on Sundays? Specifically, the first Sunday of football.
It's so, like, the first Sunday is a crime. Like, that's just the way it is. Like, I know they're in the bubble and they want to get the hell out of there, right? They want to play the games as fast as possible. But for ratings sake, you can't go against the first Sunday of football. It crushes. It crushes. Yeah. You have no chance. And
like I saw one tweet about how the Islanders lost yesterday. I legit had no idea there was even a game.
No, and all my
and I feel I, like I'm a guy who knows when games are up.
I follow a lot of Islanders fans, like a good amount. And I interact with a lot of them too, Ethan being one. And I not one tweet. You know, like the football was on. His team wasn't even playing. He covers the Giants. They were on tonight. Like, no one cared. So, yeah, Steve Coe is the only news other than football being back. I think that's really where we're at right now. The Stars, interesting, right? Cool. And the Lightning, cool. I think that's got a pretty lackluster finals in terms of drawing audiences, in my opinion. I think the NHL...
They haven't won yet.
That's true.
You should say.
That's true. They haven't won yet. They could have won after this recording, but yes.
All I'm going to say is I think it's overstated when people go, oh, the NHL doesn't want Tampa and Dallas as its final. While that's probably true, I have news for the people who say that. it doesn't matter who's in the Stanley Cup final. You're not getting a bigger audience either way. Your audience, the NHL has decided that its audience is its audience, and it hasn't grown. Like if it was Rangers and if it was Rangers, Vegas Golden Knights.
I think Rangers Blackhawks would be a draw.
I don't think so. I don't think hockey has done a good enough. I don't think it's done any kind of job
marketing
in
stars.
Trying to welcome in new fans.
Yeah.
So I think your audience is people who like hockey.
I really think you need like
a
new
coming in.
A new NHL game that's not like a Chell 21, like a fun one, like NHL Hits Again. Like you need stuff like that to really build fandom. Like it happens.
But not just that. At least when it's in the summer, you have a chance at bringing in new fans. A casual sports fan has a literal smorgasbord of whatever the hell they want right now.
Yeah,
you want to watch baseball? It's on every night. You want to watch football? It's on almost every night. You want to watch basketball? It's on every night. If you want to get into hockey, it's on every night. You like there's the casual fan doesn't have to look for the one thing. In normal year, in normal times, this is late May, early June, right?
Yes.
Baseball is still trying to get its feet under itself. So it's so early in the season that you don't have to get too big into a playoff race yet. Basketball and hockey are on opposite schedules, so they're never overlapping with each other. Right now, there is a sport on every night that you can just – everything is pushing towards a finale too. Late in the baseball season. Late – obviously, conference finals in both football, both basketball and hockey, and football is king whenever football is on. So, like, it doesn't – it does. If Vegas made this final, I don't think it would matter.
Yeah, I think
not
you're right.
Not a one bit.
I think
not a one bit.
Again, I think if it was Rangers, Blackhawks, I think they do increase the draw. Wow, why can I say
I think
that word?
That's weird. A summer draw. I don't think it does anything right now.
We'll never know.
I don't think it does a thing.
We'll never know. But I think Tampa has to be the favorite currently, even though Dallas just keeps chugging along. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I would. My gut reaction is the line would probably be Tampa minus 225 to win the series.
It's crazy that how good Tampa is. I keep thinking about this, is that Tampa is so goddamn deep that they don't have Stamkos and they're still just chug, like they just do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They're
Stamkos practiced today too.
Yeah, that's you know that's bad news for the Stars. Like that team that team is so like it makes me think like has it made you rethink what the Rangers actually need to do to win a cup? Because it has me a little bit. Like they are so goddamn stacked and they're able to sign these like guys like Shattenkirk, you know, like these guys that they shouldn't be available, but they're able to sign them because they have like this Tampa Bay culture and they get all these guys on cheap and they get Kucherov on a cheap contract and Point's going to take some sort of weak bridge deal. It's crazy. And Braden Point is incredible, by the way. He's so freaking good. Like I now see why the Rangers were willing to send an offer sheet his way. He's that good. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, New York will always have taxes, so it's never going to be an even playing field with Tampa. And we'll have to see what Tampa looks like after this offseason, man. We don't know. It's going to be very hard for that team to keep the core together. But it's the NHL, and the 30 other GMs will probably be more than willing to help them. So we'll see. But
it's just the talent you need to really win a cup. Like first of all, you need good luck. Second of all, you need like your window needs to be open with your young cross-controlled players and your superstars.
Yeah, you need to win when kids are on their entry-level deals. That's it.
Yep. Otherwise, it's like impossible. Look at the Blackhawks. Like they paid everyone. They can't do anything now. That's it. It's over. And if you make a couple bad contracts, how the hell are you going to compete? I really don't.
That's
know.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Tampa has going for him. While there are a couple guys that are overpaid, there isn't a flat-out bad contract on that team. Their overpaid guys are tradable.
They are. All of them. I'm sure they'll be able to move somebody. And Ottawa and Detroit are probably going to want some of those players, right? Like, they can't get anybody else, so maybe they'll help
them out. It's like, do Tyler Johnson, Alex Killorn, and Andre Palat make more than they should? Yes. But are there teams in the NHL that would pay those contracts right now to get those players? Yes. So the Lightning, if the Lightning want to create cap room, they're probably going to be able to. It's just really frustrating that there isn't a smart NHL team that will take advantage of that. So we'll see.
It is frustrating. Anyway, the thing I was going to say was earlier, I saw a Reddit post. Yep. And
about Steve Cohen.
It was about Steve Cohen. And he bought a baseball that was signed by Mika Zibanejad. How weird is that? That's actually the real story. Is I found somebody on Rangers Twitter, Rangers Reddit rather, posted that they got a baseball signed by Mika Zibanejad, and I was like, would I want a baseball signed by Mika Zibanejad? I don't think so. Like, what if I? Go on.
I'm not a big autograph guy. Mm-hmm. I've never truly understood the appeal of claiming ownership over someone's signature. I understand that. I think signatures and autographs are something of a bygone era, but like they're almost too available now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It was rare when you went to a ball game and before like this was all monetized and like there's companies that literally sell signatures. You know what I mean?
When the internet didn't exist and the only way you could get an autograph was either by going to a deep collectible store that also no longer exists, or by physically going to the game yourself and getting it yourself. I think it had more meaning and value and sentimentality back then. Like people who have Mickey Mantle signatures, that's like their prized possession, right?
Yeah.
My father's era, getting a signature.
Oh, wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, good point.
Your dad's a fuck.
Question mark. Yes.
But my dad had a big cabinet full of signatures from guys that played when my dad was, you know, in his teens and early 20s.
Yeah.
And he cherishes those possessions. For us, it's like I could get
You can go on eBay and get anything for like
$30. Anything I want at any time. Like this, it's just how much do you want to pay for it? So
and this isn't
like,
me against collecting, by the way. I totally respect card collectors and everything like that.
To your point, why the fuck would you have a baseball signed by
this is my manager? Like what the hell? Like now I want some items that are not hockey pucks signed by Rangers, just so I can have a
the
weird
only
collection.
Thing. The only thing I will ever spend money on signed by Mika Zibanejad is him signing one of his singles. That's it. That's the only thing I would.
Or the tweet
I would drop
that says "Work on your game." I would take that.
Yes, if I got that framed and Mika signed it, yes, 100%. Those are the two items. Yeah, I don't know. That's odd. Did the guy like mail Mika a baseball?
I don't know. I just saw the picture and I was baffled. I was like, I want to mail Lafreniere a football and get it back. Like, see what happens.
It's like, when did Mika sign this baseball too? Is there a Swedish baseball league we don't know about where baseball is more popular in Sweden than I think it is?
I refuse to click the comments because I just wanted to live in mystery because I just had so many questions because I just didn't. It was very strange. Not too much rumors going on in New York Ranger land these days. Kraftstoff playing okay. Leah's doing some things. Like nothing really going on. Waiting for the draft here. Mm-hmm. Saw like one Tony rumor.
Draft's coming up. We're gonna have to talk with good friend Drew Way about getting him back in the podcast.
We will have to. I'm sure he'll listen to this and contact us exclusively on our Slack.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So see you tomorrow morning, Drew. So that's like in 2 weeks. That's crazy. So I'm taking vacation next week. Very awesome. Getting ready for the draft. But other than that, like not really too much going on in Ranger World. We have Corey Pronman coming up to talk about his rankings, organizational rankings. He says a lot of nice things about a lot of great players in the New York Rangers. So that's great. I don't think I have anything else. So I have one Tony D'Angelo rumor mill today to the possible
Larry Brooks article.
Was that a Brooks article? I didn't even see that. Wow.
It was a Brooks article. He was the one talking about how the Rangers are dangling D'Angelo.
Wow. It's real now. Crazy.
It's real now.
I wonder how that's going to work out. I guess we'll cover that next week. So let's stay tuned for that. But we've got a great interview coming up. So let's do some 5-star questions and then get to that. I think that's a good idea, right?
Well, it sounds like we just found our. You know what?
Let's just let.
No, we can. Let's just do the 2 minutes on D'Angelo right now because there's nothing new that we haven't said.
No,
it makes the most sense in the world for the Rangers to trade D'Angelo from. It's the standpoint of his trade value will never be higher than it is currently.
Never.
So that is when you should trade a player that is expendable, which. He is, because he is the third most important right-handed defenseman the New York Rangers have, and the New York Rangers already are in possession of his natural replacement in Nils Lundqvist, who is both younger and cheaper. So, again, this isn't Tony D'Angelo, bad human being, awful politics. All that stuff is also true. Taking that out of the equation, from a trade value standpoint that we've said time and time and time again, the perfect person to trade if you are the Rangers of New York is Tony D'Angelo, because you trade guys at the peak of their value, which he is, at the peak of their affordability, because D'Angelo will be able to negotiate his new contract with his new team. So if a team wants him for multiple years, they get to decide the price. It all makes sense, which is why the Rangers should do it, which is why I've been saying it forever. That's that. I don't think we have to add anything more. We'll talk about it if it happens.
Yep.
But
of course we will.
I don't.
By the way, yeah, he'll get traded when I'm hiking in the middle of Shenandoah. He absolutely will. Unbelievable.
Possible.
Yes.
50-50. Everything in life, Ryan, is 50-50. I had a dumb friend in college who once said that, so.
He was probably right, or she.
It was a he, and he's a fuck. The example he used was he, I don't know how it came up, Ryan.
Okay.
I don't think anyone pressured him on it. I think he looked up in the sky, and yep. He saw a plane flying overhead, and he said, it's a 50-50 chance there's a terrorist on that plane.
What?
And I proceeded to say, what? And he said, think about it. There either is or there isn't. So
Whoa.
Therefore, it's 50-50. And I said, therefore, you're a fucking idiot. And I don't have anything else to add to this conversation. I'm leaving.
I think that was the appropriate response, Gregory. Let's get to five-star
questions. Of all his examples, literally, points up at the sky and he says, you see that? And I'm like, yes, don't say anything else. You should just point out that that's a plane and I think you're all right.
Yep. You figured it out. All right, five-star questions. Crazy. Got a couple Crazy. This week, and we'll get to Corey Prom and a wonderful interview with him. This is from Kako. Praise be, our friend Chris in Florida. Fantastic podcast. He has a couple questions here. By the way, if you want to leave one of these, you can go to iTunes, leave a five-star review. We read them on the podcast. That's it. Chris from Florida says, with Elias Anderson on a tear to start the season overseas, do you see the Rangers being able to attach him to a trade? Or is Elias possibly coming back to the Rangers next season? Though I don't know if there's room on the team at this point, ? This is just one comment, he says.
No.
I think they're going to try and ship him out, but they probably don't have suitors.
I think that's
where I end.
Unless Elias Anderson scores 200 points in the Swedish league, I don't think any team is going to trade anything that'll make it worth the Rangers' time to trade him.
Corey talks about Elias pretty extended in the interview coming up, so I think that'll answer some of your questions. He asked some questions about AV here, although I didn't watch the game with my overall hatred for both teams because of that. Everything I've seen for the analysis for the Rangers Flyers game 7 is that flaming Alain Vigneault and his inability / unwillingness to change ineffective defensive pairs. This brings to mind the Ottawa series that we should have won a couple years ago. I couldn't be happier that Vigneault is in our division along with Ruff from the Devils. What are your thoughts on Vigneault in the being in this Metro going forward? I'd love it.
Yeah, because he's never going to learn.
Yes.
He's
the same. He's been flaming his players today, by the way. Just unbelievable. Like, he's the worst.
He refuses to learn.
Yeah.
The dude honestly walks through life as if there's nothing he could do that's wrong. He's never been wrong once in his life. It must be everybody else. It can't be him.
He was too busy studying hockey, man. He's watching tape.
Yeah. The Flyers are going to be over an 82 game season. Alain Vigneault is a perfectly acceptable coach because the ebbs and flow of a season. Alain Vigneault doesn't really have valleys. He doesn't really have peaks. So whatever the ship is supposed to be, Alain Vigneault will point it in the right direction, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's when you get into these playoff series where you have to adjust on the fly. Alain Vigneault has never proven that he can do that. Never. Not once. Not in Vancouver. Not with the Rangers. Not with now with the Flyers. So if I had the Flyers in a playoff series, I'd feel pretty good. I'd feel all right, even if they had a talent advantage. Because
They're a very talented team.
Yeah. But all you have to do is throw an unexpected uppercut. It's going to knock Alain Vigneault off his feet, and Alain Vigneault's not going to change his strategy.
Yeah, he's going
to
sit and study the
same shit. I
would love
to play Alain Vigneault in playoff series. Would love to.
Hopefully we will. The last question from Chris is, since the Rangers hired Marty Jocks, or Jacques Montarin, whichever, I have been thinking, this seems to be a step in the right direction for the defense, but do you think the Rangers are thinking that if Quinn falters and the team doesn't take a step forward the next season or two, that the Rangers have Martin to step in over Quinn if needed? Praise be, love all the trade G's on the PSBOT, Chris from Florida. I don't think so. I think they're going to give Quinn 2 more years here. I think they're going to give him this year, coming up in December, possibly. And then I think they're going to give him the year after to do what he can with the team. If he doesn't provide at that point, I think they'll make a different coach change, and I don't think it'll be Jacques Martin. Marty Jacques.
I don't think. Ruff was kind of here as the security blanket for Quinn for 2 years. That's at least how it was explained to us, that both Quinn and management wanted someone with an experienced voice to be standing next to a rookie coach just to make sure he understood what it meant to be in the NHL. I think Jacques Martin was brought in specifically to make this team better. I don't think Martin was brought in as a fail-safe for David Quinn because If I agree. The only way David Quinn gets fired is if the New York Rangers are really bad. And if the New York Rangers are really bad, then Jacques Martin is partially responsible for the Rangers being really bad. So it's there wouldn't be a reason to promote him. Because, again, it's not like if Quinn finishes ninth or the Rangers finish ninth, that wouldn't be viewed as terrible enough to get rid of Quinn. The Rangers would have to finish as one of the three worst teams in the East next year. And if they finish as one of the three worst teams in the East next year, that's partially because their defense was once again horrific. And if the defense is once again horrific, that's Jacques Martin, and he's got to go too.
Yep. Next question is from, I just blanked out, Nick Sweet 13. Here we go. Hey guys, I've seen a lot of rumblings on Max Domi, and I was wondering if he's a realistic trade target for the Rangers. I know he's had a down year this past year, and other than his points, how does he look on ice play? I'm not nearly smart enough to understand some of the charts and his offensive defensive metrics. How good of a center is he, and is someone you'd be more comfortable with than Strome? I don't like Max Domi. I'm not sure what it is. I've been following him a little
bit. Like on a personal level?
Yeah. Like, we used to chat. He ghosted me. Not a big fan. But I don't know.
He's a big mean jerk.
He is a big mean jerk. But I've never been – when I was watching him in Arizona for a little bit, I've never really been a big fan of his game. I know he's only 25 years old, which seems like crazy. I think in my head, he's much older. But it's not a target I'm really interested in getting. I think the idea was swap Strome with the Canadiens for Max Domi and then a pick swap also. I guess I saw that floated out by Hockey Stat Miner at this point in time, which was some sort of the idea to get that done. More cross-control center. I'm not sure that's what the Rangers will do, and I think he's a popular trade target for a lot of different teams here.
Yeah. The problem with Max Domi, which is the problem with a lot of the Rangers skaters, is he's not exactly good defensively. In fact, you could probably say he's bad defensively. Right. So while at some point, you need to add a defensively responsible forward into mm-hmm. your top six. I'm much more interested in Philip Deneau than I am in Max Domi. Even though Deneau is a year older, I also think Deneau, he's got one more year on his contract. He even on an extension thereafter would be cheaper, I think, than what Max Domi is about to get. For me personally, if you're making a trade with the Montreal Canadiens, I think Deneau needs to be your number one target. I would let other fishermen try to hook Max Domi.
Same.
Very comfortable with that.
This is a fun question from Michelle N. Hey guys, hope you're doing well. I think we are. Who are the role players? Who are the Ranger role players that your personal favorites of yours over the years? Maybe underrated is by the fan base. One of mine is definitely Michael Grabner. If fans could manage their expectations and be more realistic, we'd have a lot more love for role players like this. I do think a lot of these players get a lot of love. Like for me, I love Dom Moore. But I do think Dom Moore gets the appropriate amount of love. Like he's pretty loved by the fan base. Right now, there's not a lot of role players that are loved on the Rangers, but.
I famously have always been a big Benoit Pouliot guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this podcast exists without my love of Benoit Pouliot. Role players are easy to root for because if they don't do anything, it's like, well, he's a role player. He's not supposed to. So when they do something, you're like, that's my guy.
Like, I love Brian Boyle, dude. Like, that guy's awesome. Big fan of his.
But right now, the Rangers problem right now is, outside of Jesper Foss, they don't have a role player because everyone is either an experienced veteran or a child, and there's no in between. Like, our role player is Greg McKegg, and while we love Greg McKegg's name, I don't think any of us are overly thrilled with what happens when he plays hockey. On a more conventional team, it's always fun to root for the role players. But yeah, right now the Rangers are the odd team where you're either a star or you're either a star child, or a straight up child. There's zero in between anywhere. So it's an odd situation where I can't name a single Rangers role player because one does not exist.
Right now, there really isn't. Next question from Swaglin. Do you think Barzal or Sorelli or Sergachev offer sheets are more likely to happen? Are there any other RFAs that could be targeted to keep up the good work? I guess what the question actually is Barzal or Sorelli / Sergachev? So which one is it? What's more likely, Barzal or the Sorelli / Sergachev? I think that's the actual question.
The Sorelli / Sergachev is more likely because it won't cost as much money, which means it won't cost as many picks.
Correct.
But all three should be extremely likely because the whole reason why they should be offer sheeted is because the teams they're currently playing on cannot afford them without major overhauls of their current roster. And again, as we've said ad nauseum, mm-hmm. the goal of a front office should not just be to make your own team better,
your opponent's which worse.
Adding any of those three players makes your own team better. It simultaneously, no matter what happens, makes your opponent worse. If the player is matched by that team, it makes the team worse because now the team has to find a way to fit that player in. And if the player is not matched by that team, it makes that team worse because they don't have that player. It's a win-win. By offer sheeting an offer sheet, it's a win-win. But no one in the NHL understands that. Just two guys talking on a Rangers podcast seem to understand this.
Straight dummies.
But we're not that – Ryan, that's the thing. You and I are not that smart.
I know.
So for us to understand this and nobody else who gets paid
it's wild.
Millions upon millions of dollars, it's concerning.
It's very concerning. Three more quick questions. This is from Amhoffin 11. Love the podcast. Thanks for getting me through the first couple weeks of fatherhood. Congratulations. Stay around. That would be my tip. You know, stay for the
way
child.
To go.
Be a good dad. Is there a player excluding Hank for obvious reasons you would like to see the Rangers retire their number? Seems like they have retired all the numbers they kept from the 94 team. Are there any post 94 players that are worth having their number retired beside Hank, Nick, and Westchester? My gut answer is no.
As much as I love Jágr, he was more of a blazing comet than he is someone that should have a important role in Rangers history where his number should be retired.
Like, I think if they win the cup, you could make some cases, but they don't.
Well, like Jágr to me is a lot like trying to think of a proper example here. Jágr to me is like what the Mets should do for Dwight Gooden. Like 16 shouldn't be worn by another New York Met, but maybe it shouldn't be retired. Like there are teams that take numbers out of rotation.
Right.
And I think, I don't know if another Ranger should wear 68, but I don't think 68 should go up in the rafters.
I think the answer here is if we win the cup in 14 or 15 and McDonough signs the extension, he'd be the answer. That's all I can say.
Yeah. There's no reason to retire McDonough's number now.
No, never.
And outside of, it's going to be super interesting what it is super clear that New York Ranger management and the New York Ranger locker room views Mark Stahl and Dan Girardi a lot differently than we do. I think we appreciate both for what they did in their prime, but obviously both of them stayed a little longer than they should. And I think their last Mark Stahl currently, but Dan Girardi's last 2 years as a New York Ranger has kind of painted our view as to what Dan Girardi was for a long time with the New York Rangers. They will be interesting from a number retirement standpoint, because I think they are important to the organization, even though it's hard for us to see that right now. But my instant gut reaction is I personally don't think either of those numbers
will get
retired.
I don't think so.
But I think those are the guys you're talking about.
Two more quick questions. This one's a soccer question for you, Greg, from NY69. Oh, nice. From Norway. Your take on the Messi situation.
It's a tough one, and I feel it's hard to feel bad for Lionel Messi because that man has made more money than I will ever see in 17 lifetimes. But it does seem like Messi got fucked by politics. And on one hand, Messi signed the contract. He needs to understand his contract. And it's always bothered me that soccer players, more than any other sport, can basically say that their 6-year contract is actually a 4-year deal and you need to get rid of me right now. It's tough. I feel for both Barcelona and Messi. If Messi's the kind of player that if he wants to go, he should be able to go. At the same time, Barcelona signed that contract for a reason, and they would be absolutely screwed from a marketing and competitive standpoint if Messi left. So they have to do everything to make sure Messi doesn't leave.
Right.
That is a no-win situation for everybody involved. So
final question.
It just sucks.
Final question from FBI 2.0. Hey, guys, hope all is well. Two quick questions. Will the new start date of the 2020/2021 season have an impact on the Rangers? If so, how? I don't think so. I think the team is pretty rested. Like, they only played 3 games, got their ass kicked, and went home. And before that, they were off for 4 months. So I think the team is going to be pretty fresh for the most part.
Yeah. I don't think the New York Rangers, however constructed, it will have an impact on. I think the only person the start date will have an impact on is Vitali Kravtsov, because you're going to get to a point where if the season starts January 1st, what would be the point of bringing Kravtsov back when the Russian season is going to end in March anyway?
Yeah.
So why not just leave him over there for 2 more months and then bring him back when you're at basically that midway point of the season?
Yeah,
so like, yeah. So I don't think, but again, if Kravtsov stays in Russia the entire season, I don't think that changes the Rangers top 9 one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think the later the season starts, the easier it'll get for the New York Rangers to tell Vitali to stay in Russia.
Agree. And the last question he asked also, or she, sorry, FBI 2.0 rather. Since Bouchard's breakaway social media presence was influential enough to get Strome and D'Angelo to come on the podcast, who can we, quote-unquote, persuade to come on next? Thanks for everything you guys do. At the end of the day, you guys are 110% the best New York Rangers podcast.
Wow. Yeah, I hate myself. That's
okay.
Here's the thing.
I would like Davidson. That's what I would like. I know it would be a bland interview, and he would give us bland, charming answers, and I would sit there doe-eyed. But that's who I like. Who I would enjoy the most, I think.
I would actually... Davidson would be charming. I think Quinn would be hilarious.
Yeah, Quinn would be a lot.
I think that guy... Like, Davidson would be like us talking to, like, a grandfatherly figure.
This is going to use the same analogy, yes.
Yeah, David Quinn would be like talking to a guy you work with who's got about 15 to 20 years on you, but he still wants to show that he's a good fucking hang.
Yeah, I agree. I think Quinn and Davidson would be the number one and number two. Another player I could think of now is retired Nick Holden in a couple years. I think that would be one I really want to talk to.
Especially after his Super Mario performance over the weekend.
Absolutely.
Trouba seems like he'd be a really fun conversation. Mika feels like he'd be a really fun conversation.
I just want to pick Chris Kreider's brain. Like, how do you think, man?
I think, here's a hot take. I think Kreider's a terribly boring interview. I think he's going to talk about, like, Kant, and he's going to get deep in philosophy with us. And you and I are going to be like,
sure, man.
So, like, have you ever farted in front of a goalie's face on a power play?
Do you ever think about getting pucks deep?
Yeah, like Chris Kreider is meant to be on, like, Hot Ones.
Yeah.
Where that dude can get into some weird shit when he's eating chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's too sophisticated for us.
I agree.
We need someone like Trouba is definitely much smarter than we'll ever be, but Trouba will have fun with us and be dumb at our level.
Kako went on a podcast this week, by the way. I was offended.
Well, you should have. How's your finish coming?
It's the Duolingo has been poor.
That's my thing. I would love to get Buchnevich and Panarin on a podcast. That, like, if we were ever to get two players on a pod at the exact
Panarin
same time,
would be
it's Panarin
time.
And Buchnevich at the exact same time. But we don't know Russian.
Yes.
So we're screwed.
Yeah, like, I'm sure we can get Jillian on, but Gillian.
But still, it would be Jillian. It would be Jillian.
Like,
I'm sure Jillian would just go word for word what they said, no doubt.
Right.
But it wouldn't be coming from direct, like, Buchnevich would have a wild story about magnets that Jillian would then have to translate for us. It's not the same.
And I feel like Artemi would just say, I want to hang out with that dude. Like, legit. He seems like a real, like, cool hang. Just like a clown. I love it. All right. Let's get to some wonderful advertisements that support this podcast. And we're from our sponsors. And do you know who our sponsor are? Today I'm reading one of the ads, as I always do. But do you know who's reading the other two, Gregory?
Our producer?
No, Craig Custance, our rival.
Oh.
That's right.
Oh. Who invited him back on the show?
He's getting airtime on our show. It's unbelievable.
Do we get airtime on his?
I don't know.
No, because we don't punch down, right? We only punch up.
That's it. I asked if I could read his ads. They didn't say anything. It was ridiculous.
No, I get it. Craig needs our rub. We don't need Craig's rub.
Come on,
that
Craig.
Makes perfect sense. I've seen the standing.
We gotta get Craig on the podcast sometime soon. it's a long time coming. All right.
Well, long time coming. You make it sound like he's never been on. We had him on once upon a time.
It's been too long. Now we have a rivalry. All right. We'll be back in a couple of minutes here, and let's go, and then we'll have Corey Provin on and talk all things New York Rangers. Here we go. Transition. And this episode of Blue Shirts Breakaway is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. It was sure nice seeing the teams back out there on the gridiron over the weekend, and luckily for us, that was only just week one. There's no better place to get in all the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to add to the excitement of week two, DraftKings Sportsbook is bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head over to the App Store now, because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users a chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right, you could place $1 bet on any team, and if that team wins, you get a cool Benjamin. How could you pass it up? If you're new to DraftKings Sportsbook, head to the app now to scout their latest offers. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook, a sportsbook that goes wherever you are. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code QUICK when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week two, bet $1 on them, and win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you get use promo code QUICK during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years or older, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. End.
Hey, this is Craig Custance with The Athletic. My family has, I would say, a healthy obsession with water and water bottles. And we all have our own personal, like, giant thing of water that we carry around. My daughter has a, you know, one of those daily planners, and it has check marks for how much water they're drinking. Because we know when you don't get enough water and you're dehydrated, you feel lethargic, you don't feel good. It makes a big difference in your day. And with Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. We're big fans of Liquid IV in our family. When you drink Liquid IV, you have more energetic workouts, you sleep better, but it's better for your immunity, which is super important right now. You just have more energy. So Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code ATHLETIC at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code ATHLETIC at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code ATHLETIC. Hey, this is Craig Custance with The Athletic. Maybe you were blessed with a body that you can just pull clothes off the rack and they fit perfectly. But if you're anything like me, every shirt I buy, the arms are too long. Every pair of pants I buy, the legs are too long. I don't have the time or the money really to go and get everything I buy tailored perfectly, so I end up looking like a frumpy sports writer half the time, which isn't great, and I wish it wasn't the case. But the times when I do take the time to buy the things that fit right, you just feel better, right? You're confident. You walk into a room, you don't feel like you're wearing your dad's clothes because the sleeves are down over your hands. And that's what makes Indochino so great. Indochino suits are great for wedding and for work. And they offer a lot of casual options like shirts, coats, and chinos. And right now, honestly, like that's what I find myself most attracted to. Like I recently made a purchase there. Even if like 80% of the press conferences or whatever I'm doing in Zoom, you still want to look good. You still want to be professional. You still want things to fit and feel good about yourself. And the way it works is I booked some time with a virtual style consultation and took it step by step. And I was even able to personalize it. The dress shirt threw my initials on there, from the stitching to the collar to what kind of material you want on the inside flap. There's so many ways to personalize it. So with Indochino, you get custom fitted suits, coats, and casual wear at surprisingly affordable prices. And if you are getting married, Indochino is an absolute no-brainer for you and your groomsmen. Forget the off-the-rack suits that don't fit different body types. Indochino gives everybody a tailored fit. You order with ease, you get it shipped fast, no matter where you live. And with all the ways to customize, you can add a personal touch everyone will be proud to wear without emptying their pockets. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $299 with all customizations included. Visit one of Indochino's showrooms across North America or book a virtual appointment and shop online at Indochino.com. And right now, you'll get $30 off any purchase of $399 or more when you enter the code Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at checkout. That's Indochino.com, promo code Craig, to get $30 off any purchase of $399 or more.
Hey, we're back with Corey Promen. He is the NHL prospect writer and also our lovely coworker, Corey. You wrote a series this week over the past couple weeks, about organizational rankings for the NHL. Thank you for joining us. How are you doing on this fine, lovely Monday night?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I've never seen an article, Gregory and I were speaking about this before, I've never seen an article where someone called the team, we cover the New York Rangers in this podcast, among other things, and I saw New York Ranger fans just rip this article apart, despite them being called the number one team overall in organizational rankings, which is unbelievable. What was your feedback from Ranger fans that you got from posting this?
I would probably say I didn't see all the feedback. There's a lot of stuff that goes on the internet. I checked the comment section of ours, moderately, and the feedback seemed fine. Whatever, there's some debate over various players. That's a part of it. If there's an issue with a certain player, I've heard a couple in particular, whatever, Keandre Howden, there's some other like lower end prospects that people felt should have been on there. All that kind of stuff is reasonable. You know, where does Kako stand a year later? You know, stuff that's subject to reasonable debate. If there's an issue, feel free to let me know.
I just want to reiterate to everyone listening that Corey ranked the Rangers number one in the NHL. So back off entirely.
People can criticize whatever they want. I think, it comes with the territory, and I'm sure right. it wasn't the ranking.
Twitter in 2020. We all know what we're getting into.
I'm sure it's not just the ranking, and I'm sure if anyone had an issue, it was an issue with a particular evaluation, and that comes with the territory.
Not to cut you off, Ryan. I apologize. But Corey, I do want to get right into one thing. Obviously, you're new to the show. Would never expect you to ever listen to this before. Ryan and I are not allowed to talk about Brett Howden anymore. We're retired from it. We can only simply say that he is a man rocket and he can get it.
That's all. That's
we want to give you
only our analysis.
We give you the floor, and we want you to talk about Brett Howden from an outsider perspective.
Yeah, that was a hornet's nest I didn't know existed. My job is to evaluate hundreds, if not thousands, of players. So even the ones in the NHL, I don't know the perception of them. You know, after the article went up, I did some quick, internet research to see a lot of ink that's been spilled about that player in the last 2 years, which I thought was interesting. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who would be a divisive player, but apparently he is. I guess I saw that his possession numbers were in the tank, I've watched Brett since he was 17 years old, maybe even younger, and I kind of get that he's a boring offensive player. He's not it's average foot speed. It's good. It's not amazing skill. If he's not winning battles and making plays with his intelligence, he's probably not gonna be creating that much offense. I've watched this guy for a while, and I still think just because of the hockey sense and the size and the competitiveness, I think there's a toolkit there that's going to translate into a good top nine, if not a top six four in the NHL. Top six, whether he's a center, second line center, maybe moves on to the wing for that role. I just think, I have watched this guy be a good player for a very long time. And even though the numbers weren't like the box score numbers weren't amazing last year, you probably can argue he got a few too many minutes. I don't think, if you lowered the role, I don't think it's going to be lowered that much. I still see a guy who's going to, be a 30, 40 kind of point guy, over maybe two game span, or maybe a little more, maybe a little less with a significant defensive responsibility. I know he was a big time penalty killer for that team, and I think he turned 22 over the course of the year, so he's still rather young, and I think I think his best days are still ahead of him.
Yeah, Howden has a lot of like you said, the bee's nest around him, where I think people forget that you could still develop after 22. There's a lot of jokes we make on here, like careers are over after 23. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean I found it interesting when I saw people like messaging me, like, how can you have him over Kravtsov? And it's like, yeah, I know Vitaly very well, and I know that guy has elite skill. But at the same age when Howden was a middle 6'4 in the NHL, Kravtsov was a middle 6'4 in the American League. I mean, I think, you know, being in the NHL at 20 and 21 and playing a somewhat significant role is a really big accomplishment. And it's usually indicative of being a quality NHL player, maybe not for 10 years, but for a portion of your career at the very least.
Yeah, I will preface this by saying my official statement on anything Brett Howden is he's a man rocket. He can get right. I need to get that out of the way. I will simply say that I think the argument from Ranger fans who push back on positive Howden spin is that Howden has been playing above his head for the better part of the last 2 years. And I think it's gotten to a point now where it's not even about Brett Howden. It's about how Howden is an example of maybe other players not getting an opportunity because for some reason, David Quinn continues to play Brett Howden. I just think that's where part of the conversation has gone with him. So it's not even about him anymore.
And I've known Brett for a while. He tends to be a player that endears himself to coaches. I remember going out to watch him in the Dub, and you know, the people around that his teams would always say really good things about the player, about the character, about his competitiveness, about how intelligent a two-way player he is. You know, I think he was a captain there in Moose Jaw for a few years. As far as I can tell, he's always been a guy who's, you know, whether he's playing for Hockey Canada or whether he's been playing in the Dub or now in the NHL, who's always found a way to get his coach to play him a lot.
Well, we've talked about Brett Howden, so we got that out of the way. Let's talk about the rest of the players we have from the top. Kapokako, obviously, number two overall draft pick from the New York Rangers in the last year, had what would be considered a rough year in the NHL, but yet you still have a number one overall here for the Rangers list, which I believe is correct. What do you see for Kako going forward? I do think he took a step forward in the playoffs, but I know you've probably spent a lot more time scouting him outside of the NHL.
Yeah, but I did watch him in the NHL because that's at the end of the day that's what the important games are, and he was a lot better there in the play-in round.
Oh, sorry, play-in. Yes.
It was three games. You know, it was good to see, but I don't think it canceled out, you know, what was largely a somewhat disappointing season. But even though it was a somewhat disappointing season, you know, it's not great to see. And if somebody wanted to argue with me, like, hey, Corey, you know, Kako is a little bit too high, maybe you should knock him down like a tier or a half tier. Like, I could see the argument there. You know, I wouldn't have called him I would say the dynamic skill elements in his game were inconsistent, the skating, which has always been an issue, was definitely more exposed, as I think any reasonable person who watched him when he was younger thought it would probably be a challenge going into the NHL. I thought, you know, when you watch him in Liga, he could just bully his way doing whatever he wanted with his skill or his power. And I thought especially the power parts were maybe like more inconsistent there in the NHL. But yeah, I've been watching this guy for many years, and it's not just like good skill, it's elite offensive skill he has, and I don't think that just goes away. You know, he's just tremendous hands and Hockey Sense, a guy who I think is very competitive, and he's got size, and I think it's even if it's going to take a little bit of time, I still think a guy this is going to be a star caliber winger. This is going to be a guy who's going to make a lot of really good things happen consistently. It didn't last season, and you know, if we're still sitting here, hopefully we're not still sitting here this time next year having this conversation, because hopefully there's a NHL training camp going around this time next season. But but if we're sitting here, you know, in a year from now, he coming off like a 35 point season, and yeah, that's going to start to get a little concerning there. I've seen him do too many tremendous things for way too long to not think he's still not going to be a really, really important part of that team and a top winger in the National Hockey League.
From a developmental standpoint, do you think it was beneficial that Kako, even with his struggles, and they are well documented and they do not need to be sugarcoated, do you think it was beneficial he had the entire year in the NHL instead of maybe 2 months in, the Rangers saying, all right, this might be too much, go have fun in Hartford for a couple months and we'll revisit it towards the end of the season?
Yeah, like, I think that's more reasonable as opposed to like saying like he shouldn't have been in the NHL all year, for example. Like, I mean, because he broke camp with them because he showed he was one of their better forward options there. And frankly, if you looked down to Hartford, I didn't really see a lot of options there to replace him. So yeah, maybe you could have made that, maybe, you know, kind of like how they get kind of gave Hedl there, that little jump start there when they sent him down to Hartford. It's not an unreasonable thing to say. You know, Montreal did that with Kotkaniemi, and he came back really strong in the postseason. So yeah, a couple of months, it's perfectly reasonable, but I still think, you know, he still looked like an NHL player. I know like some of his possession numbers look pretty bad. And like I said, if you want to kind of say maybe they take the pedal off here and there, sure. But I still see a guy who's able to score and create in the NHL. Just going to need to – it's definitely the foot speed there is the thing that's going to need to get better.
Let's move on to Adam Fox. Were you surprised that Adam Fox ranked this highly for you on this list? Was he this high for you before at number two?
No, I wasn't surprised because I knew where he was going to rank.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. But,
and I think about a year ago this time, he was roughly in this area. I don't know the exact tier. I forgot where I put him, to be quite honest, but I would imagine it was pretty close to that after the amazing year he had at Harvard. You know, I think Fox the last couple of years for me has been a lot of the same, and it's a lot of what – this doesn't always happen, but a lot of what I saw in college was exactly what I saw in the NHL, guy with – a truly elite hockey sense and a really high skill level who's undersized and a so-so skater for that size. Probably not, you know, does enough defensively to help the elite offense. Not an elite offense. That's probably overstating it, you know, really good offense. Mm-hmm. And that's a guy who's going to be, I think, a big time point producer there for a while from the blue line. And that's a guy, you know, they have a lot of options there with a guy like D'Angelo, but you know, I think Adam Fox on a standard team is a first power play option. And, you know, that's a really nice piece.
You just for people listening at home, you have rated as a hockey sense of 70. That's out of 80, correct?
Yes, and you know, 70 is like a really, really, really high grade. I could probably, you know, among all the prospects I rated in this entire series, there might have been five players overall who had at least a 70 in hockey sense, and five might be on the high scale.
Wow. I mean, that's great news for the New York Rangers. Adam Fox seems like he's going to be a monster player moving forward. I guess going down to the rest of the list, there are some players I have particular questions about, and I'm sure there are players. We'll touch on Hedl. I'm sure, Greg, you're going to want to touch on that too. But one thing that surprises me about Nils Lundqvist on this is his physical game is like a 40, but his size has always been sort of a concern for me. Could you ease those concerns?
I mean, he's small.
Right.
That's what he is. And that's, you know, it's part of why even though he played pro all season and looked like he had offense, there's a reason why he went in like, you know, whatever he was, like 27, 28 or whatever their pick was. And it's because he's a 5'11 defenseman who is a good, not amazing skater. And that's why he was picked where he was. But I think what Lundqvist has shown, particularly this past season, his 18-year-old season did not go as promising or nearly as promising as a 17 or 19-year-old season, is that his hockey sense, I've always known it was really good, but like when you watched him last year, you're like, oh God, this is really good. It's not like Adam Fox level, but it's not like far behind. Like this guy just makes so many, you know, tremendous plays with the puck, you know, from the offensive blue line and from his own end. Tremendous exits, tremendous, you know, seam, you know, making all the seam passes in the ozone, just, you know, really, really intelligent player. So even though he's not that big and he's fast, but he's not that fast, I see a guy who could be a top four defenseman in the NHL. But now, you know, I'm sure, you know, now you have a guy like him on one pair. You're going to have a guy like Fox, another pair, a guy like D'Angelo, another pair. You know, it's going to be a very small right side.
Yeah, absolutely.
A more generalization question for me, Corey. You've obviously know more about – you will forget more about prospects than Ryan and I will ever know. Who, in your mind, when you were filling out the Rangers rankings – was the biggest mover? Who made the best of their weird 2019-2020 season?
Oh, I mean, Lundqvist would probably be that guy, clearly. Like I said, I think, you know, there were his 2019 season, you know, he was fine, good. I would not say he was amazing. Like, his ice time fluctuated. There was times, he got benched. If I recall, that was, a year and a half ago. And now I think, he's among the better young defense prospects in hockey. I think that, he made a pretty large jump there from his play between at the SHL and the World Juniors. He even played the national team there for a little bit. So I thought he looked really promising.
There's a lot of players on your list here that are, I think a lot of people will be surprised that aren't ranked. And by a lot, I mean probably just one. And that's Elias Anderson. And I think one of the players that Greg was talking about earlier was, I don't think Ranger fans feel like Elias Anderson got a fair shot over Brett Howden, and Brett Howden kind of kept that third line center role while Elias never got that shot. I don't know if Elias will ever be back as a New York Ranger, but you have him as a sort of NHL potential. What do you see of Elias going forward?
I see a guy who's a very intelligent player, who is a very, he's a physical, competitive player. But I've watched this guy a lot now for a long time, including, from the various levels where he didn't score when he was in Sweden last year, when he was in the American League, his time in the NHL. And, and this kind of goes with how drafting goes, is sometimes you have some picks like a Niels who look really, really good a couple of years later. You got picks like these who don't look as good a couple of years later. But, Elias, the guy now when you're watching, you're like, he's like, geez, like, how is this guy like a top 10 pick with his size and his skating, and he doesn't really have high-end skill? Now, mind you, I had him as a mid-first when he was drafted on my list, and I've talked to guys on other teams at that time because I was curious what people thought. I had some guys say, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be the next Mike Richards. Like, he's that good. But when we've watched him in Hartford, I just don't see the speed or the skill. And, if you don't have a ton of speed and skill and you're like 6'3", 6'4", you'd be physically imposing. That's one thing. But, this is an undersized guy without a ton of speed. And it's like, at some point, and that's what will happen when he's playing the NHL. It's just, it's hard to see what he can do at that level right now. I still think there is a potential for there to be a bottom six forward, whether it's a third or a fourth line, TBD. But, I think he's really got to prove it and be much more consistent offensively.
Corey, obviously the New York Rangers, you had ranked number one organizational with the absence of whoever the New York Rangers take at number one overall.
How much,
thank you.
How much wider is the gap from the Rangers to who you had second, the New Jersey Devils, if Alexei Lafreniere was to be considered in your rankings?
I can't give ties in these things, but like I thought it was like a three-way tie at the top between the Rangers, the Devils, and the Canucks. You got to pick somebody to make a list. Mm-hmm. There was like minor gaps there I saw, which is why I went with the Rangers. But yeah, like if you – and then the Devils have three first-round picks. The Rangers have two, but the Devils have three first-round picks. So they're going to add some value to that system with their 7 and I think it's the 18 and 20. But the Rangers have now the benefit of winning two straight lotteries, and the lottery slots they've won, the Kako slot and the Lafreniere slot, are not, this is not, sometimes you win those slots and it's not as interesting. It's Sam Reinhart. It's Ryan Nugent Hopkins. But that's a slot where you're like, these are two really, really, really good players. I mean, Nugent Hopkins was a bad example because he's become he was a point of game player last year. But, these are, really, really good players that are going to significantly change the outlook of your team. And yeah, I mean, you can, easily make the conclusion they're going to go from like a close one to one with a bullet after they make that pick.
I want to go back to your list in a second, but since we're on Lafreniere now, I got the chance to read or reread rather our good friend Craig Custance's article on the top 10 picks for the last 10 years or wherever it was. And I kept seeing a reoccurring theme from some executives that said, hey, if this guy was a center, I'd have him higher on my list. Is that true for when it comes to these rankings? Like, I think Lafreniere could be that sort of special talent that can kind of go above his position, like being out, not being a center. But obviously he's not going to be better than McDavid. Like Matthews and McKinnon right now are unbeatable. Those guys are great. But I think Lafreniere has a chance to really be special here. And if he was a center, how much higher would he be ranked?
I mean, you know, I'd have to watch him play when he does that.
Yeah, he's not playing center now. He probably never will, obviously. It's kind of a theoretical question.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he could, maybe he couldn't. I've talked to him about this, and I don't know if he feels comfortable playing down the middle. He's been a wing, I think, for a big chunk of his life. I mean, for me, it's about, you know, you watch the player and you see what they can do on the ice and the kind of impact they can have on the ice. And I mean, this is a guy, he doesn't check every box, but he checks almost all of them. And, you know, elite skill, hockey sense, competitiveness, he can score goals. I just see a guy who's going to be, you know, where, you know, he's going to be able to touch the top of the scoring charts for, you know, at times when at his peak. Is he going to like hold there, or maybe he's not that good, but like, you know, I think he's, you know, he could be a really, you know, true top NHL forward. You know, I think the only concern for me there would be, and, you know, I think the Rangers probably will get a little bit of deja vu here from their last top pick, is, you know, I don't think his foot speed's amazing. I think it's better than Kako's, but I don't think it's amazing. So that'll be the one area where that might hold him back from being, you know, a dominant player in a short period of time. But I still think he's going to be, you know, I still think with, you know, with all those pieces we talked about, you know, Hedel, Fox, Kako, Lundqvist, the player they have on their team, having gone to Shesterkin, who barely graduated, you know, the other great players they've acquired, never mind, you know, they had a heart candidate on their team, and you add a guy like Lafreniere, I mean, that's a nucleus that can win. I mean, I don't know when that could happen, and I think the team's in a weird spot, because usually when you get those two top guys, or basically that one pick, you're usually bad. You know, you usually don't have guys in their mid to late 20s who are top players. So it'll be interesting to see how that timeline works, but I see this is a nucleus that I think could make some noise.
My only non-Ranger question for you, and it's because I see it talked about on Twitter.com almost as much as any Ranger fan saying they're excited about Lafreniere. How ridiculous would it be if the Ottawa Senators walk away at 3-5 with Quinton Byfield and Lucas Raymond?
I mean, they're going to get some combination of, you know, Stutzel and or Byfield and one of the other top guys. You know, the value will be roughly the same. You know, I like I love Byfield's number two, but, you know, I don't think Stutzel is that far behind. And whether it's Raymond or Perfetti or Drysdale or, you know, or Holtz or Rossi or whoever else they might take, you know, that rebuild is going to be in a really, really strong position. Like, you could probably spitball what the org rankings are going to look like when the draft is over. You know, Rangers are going to be one, and, you know, I don't know if Ottawa's going to be two, but they'll probably be right in that conversation.
There are two players I still want to talk about, maybe three. I'm sorry, I'm pestering you. There's so many players I'm just so interested in at this point. One of them has to be Conor Miller, which I think a lot of Ranger fans are much higher on than you. I know he kind of had a tough year at college, and maybe that's why, with all the ravings from the COVID camp, as I'll call it, that he's lower on your list. Is that sort of why, because of the year at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of things. Like I said, I think you try and take everything into account from watching this guy for a long period of time. And the most recent information is the most important information. And he was a little up and down at Wisconsin and with the USA U-20 team as well. I think he has the top four toolkit. I mean, if you just on a pure tool level between the skating and the physicality, and I think he has some skill, and I think there is some hockey sense in his game. Like, you know, those components to me look like a guy who should be a top four defenseman, but his play was really inconsistent, both with, you know, Wisconsin and the under-20 team I do really wonder how much offense he's going to have when he gets to the higher levels, if he's going to be able to move the puck, you know, as well versus men as he has been at the collegiate and the junior level, or if he's going to be, you know, sometimes he gets pressured into making bad decisions, if that'll be an aspect of his game that doesn't translate very well. But I also see him make really smart plays too. So like I said, it comes and goes a little bit. I think he's going to play maybe like a kind of like a 4-5-D, kind of what is what I think he is right now, who I think can still bring some of the, is that he has the competitiveness, the leadership aspects. Those are all really strong. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, this big time offensive puck mover though in the NHL.
I think that's totally fair. One other player I have to ask about is Vitaly Kravtsov, who is also another player that I feel like we should retire from speaking about on this podcast, but mostly because he goes back and forth all the time, and now he's back in Russia, which he should be playing. He seems to have a really great start to the season so far. I think the Rangers are going to recall him later in the season. What do you project him out to be at this point? Because Ranger fans are expecting more from him when I don't think they should just yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think there's really sugarcoating his last season. It didn't go well. And, you know, between his play in Russia and the American League, he just, you know, it just was an average year for him. I like the player because I do think, like I said at the beginning, he has really elite puck skills. And, you know, he has the ability to break a shift open with his one-on-one play. I think he sees the ice really well. He has all the skill and the hockey sense to be a guy who can run a power play at the pro level. The skating, though, is really average, and the compete level is very average. And those are concerns when projecting to the NHL, because even when he made the jump to the American League, he looked like he had some struggles, better than more in a second stint. But still, there were some struggles there, and I still think he's going to be a top six forward, but it could take some time. It may not be, you know, this season. It might take another year or so. But there definitely is a lot of skill there.
Well, all right. So my last question for players, that is Morgan Barron. This is a player that I think could be the fourth line center for the Rangers next year. Am I overshooting that?
I don't think it's unreasonable. I think that's the kind of thing you would want to see how he looks in camp first before you give him that job. The ECAC to the NHL is a pretty big jump. But he was a top player in college last season. He is an impressive player. He's big, big frame, really intelligent, competitive player. I would probably say fourth line center for him is, you know, if that's what it's probably close to what I think he is at his peak. Mm-hmm. So whether that is next season or the year after, I do think the skating is going to be a bit of an adjustment there for him. So it wouldn't surprise me if he needs a little bit of time in the American League to adjust to the speed of the pro game. But you know, he's a bit of an older player. He'll be like 22 when camps open. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him push for some ice time.
One thing I keep noticing you saying is that the Rangers can't skate. Who do we hire to fix that? Because, you know, between Lafreniere, Kako, and Morgan, it's just like, how do we improve the pucks, the skate speed in the future?
I don't think it's because of the Rangers. I just think, I get this feedback from a lot of fans of organizations that I think aren't aware of how few good players actually are good skaters. It's not easy to find the guys who tick all the boxes, who have the skill and the hockey sense and the skating. Though, you know, guys like that tend to go with, you know, pretty high in the draft. You can find the guys who have the great skating and don't have any skill, but they're not really going to get you all that excited. But I think you look at guys like Robertson and guys like Hedl, you know, Gauthier skates well for his size. Keandre skates well. Zach Jones's skating has gotten a lot better. Lindgren's a great skater. Hayek can skate. You know, there's a lot of guys there who can skate, but if you want the guys with, you know, it's really tough to find the guys with skating and skill. Like, you know, a guy like Byfield or Stutzel who have high-end skating and high-end skill, they go in the top three picks.
Right, exactly. I have FOMO for Byfield, even though we're getting Lafreniere. That's where we're at. I think that's all my questions for Corey. Any other questions for Corey, Greg?
I do have one. The Rangers goaltending situation, a very popular topic of conversation for Rangers fans. Igor Shesterkin, the clear number one. I don't think the three of us would ever disagree on that, ever. My question, Corey, is Tyler Wahl going to be good enough where Georgiev maybe should be more expendable from a trade standpoint if you're the Rangers?
I think it's definitely possible. I go up and down on Tyler Wahl. I think the hockey sense he has is really, really good. And there'll be some times I'll watch him in Hockey East, and I thought he was, you know, really impressive and just like looked a little bit above the level at times, not consistently, but at times. I don't know if the quickness is going to be, you know, top end enough to definitely be a long-term NHL goalie. I think that's the kind of thing where we're going to really see how he goes in the American League first and kind of see how it goes there. I do like him. I wouldn't be slotting him into the lineup though in a year or so just quite yet. I do want to see how he does in Hartford first.
Corey, can't thank you enough for taking the time to spend with us tonight. Why don't you go ahead and plug anything you're working on? I know obviously you just put out a tremendous series that if someone hasn't read it yet, it's on The Athletic, obviously, the NHL organizational rankings, and you can check that out today. You have anything else coming up rather soon, Corey?
Yeah, probably like 20 things on the draft sometime in the next few weeks.
Makes sense.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, stay tuned. You know where to find us, The Athletic. And Corey. Yeah.
Sure thing. Thank you, guys.
Corey, why don't you go ahead and also plug your Twitter, too, and then we'll let you get out of here.
Yeah, sure thing. At Corey Proman, all one word, CoreyProman. Awesome.
Corey, you're the best. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yep, sure thing.
Hey, we're back. Just had our wonderful interview with Corey. Thank him so much for coming on. But I'd be remiss if I didn't offer this opportunity to my dear friend Gregory. As you know, we are a horse racing Mets and Rangers, sometimes Rangers podcast.
Oh, can't believe you got that out of order, though. That's kind of offensive.
I thought we were horse racing first, Mets second, sometimes Rangers.
Come on. Okay. Come on. All right.
Well, things change, you know. Is horse racing season over now?
The beauty of horse racing season, Ryan, is that it never ends.
Oh, God. All right. So Mets first, then horse racing, sometimes Rangers. Yep. There we go. Officially a good host. I would be, seriously, there's some times where you talk about trading like an 11th ranked prospect that might be a starter one day where I'm kind of like, what's happening right now? But today,
Excuse you, Kevin Smith is 12th ranked prospect. You get it right.
Okay. Well,
you get his name right.
Put some
sir.
Respect in Kevin Smith's name. But in this case, the Wilpons, who have taunted you and tortured you for many, many years and provided me with much hilarity and many other sports fans much questioning of what the hell is happening in Queens, have sold the team to Stevie Cohen, and you now have a new owner. If 23 of 30 owners approve, which I'm assuming they will, I don't see a reason they wouldn't. How are your feelings on this fine Monday night?
Oh, today is a day where I think as a 31-year-old, you're allowed to believe in Santa Claus again. I think that's the most level-headed way I can describe it.
Follow up from your host. You are Jewish, correct?
I am. Okay. I am. I've heard stories, though. I had friends who pretended to be both.
Right.
So
just checking.
I have a vague awareness of who the jolly man is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just everything's on the table now, right? Literally everything. I can say stuff like the Mets will be players for JT Realmuto, and it's not a joke anymore because I could have said that before, but we all know what the answer to that question used to be. They can't afford him. They're not going to afford him. They're not going to pay him. I can say the Mets are going to extend Michael Conforto. I can say the Mets are going to re-sign Marcus Stroman. We're talking about a guy who has so much money that he has no concept of money anymore.
He tripled the amount of value of, I believe him himself owns more than the other 29 owners, or it's close to it.
Yeah, Ryan, he's spending $2.5 billion with a B on the New York Mets. That isn't even 9% of his actual worth.
That's sickening. That's honestly sickening.
He didn't cross the 10% threshold to buy the New York Mets.
Wow. I will.
Actually, I don't know what
math.
Fine,
sorry.
Hold on. I'll correct myself.
Someone
in the mentions.
You.
Someone in the mentions will be like, well, actually, Greg.
Well, actually, math, Greg.
All right, so 2.5 divided by 14.1.
Welcome to math.
It crossed 10%, Ryan. I got news for you. We are not math
boys. We've never been analytics.
It's 17.7% of his actual work.
Still less
he spent
than
on the New York
less
Mets.
Than and that. By the way, the Mets are going to make him money back over time, and he probably doesn't care anyway. It's just a situation that's unbelievable that now this guy is the richest owner in the MLB by far. How long does your GM last?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I
feel like Brody was like, he went over to the Wilpons and he was like, sold them. And that was it.
Yeah, but there's a part of me that Brody's the same guy who gave up too much for Edwin Diaz and Robinson Cano because the Mets just didn't eat Cano's contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to judge Brody because he's been playing with a hand tied behind his back. Like, there's a very good chance that Brody Van Wagenen is not a guy you should have running a front office, and the way he judges talent isn't smart or wise. At the same time, you know, JT was Brody's client. Brody's first big fish was JT Realmuto. He wanted JT Realmuto.
Right. That was his guy.
So it's – I don't know. I'm so split on Brody. I thought what Brody did this year at the deadline was stupid. But again, I thought – most of what he did at the deadline had to do with money and the lack of the Mets wanting to spend. So it's when Brody was playing with a salary cap, I don't want salary cap Brody Van Wagenen. I think we've seen enough of that. That doesn't seem fun. But now we're going to be living in this world where there are no rules. There's too much money. The budget doesn't exist. Literally everything is on the table. I will give Brody one more chance. If Brody staying means I get JT Realmuto, I want Brody to stay because that's the guy I want.
Are you ready for the Trevor Bauer experience?
No, I have no interest. Just re-sign Stroman. I don't want Bauer.
Okay.
I think Bauer's a fraud.
Really? You do? Huh. I like Bauer.
I think he's a very polarizing figure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would work in that Met clubhouse. I think he would have a bad time.
Maybe that might be true, actually. The way when you put it that way, in the clubhouse, it might be true.
Yeah, I don't think – and. It's funny because we've talked about so many times about what or how little pressure the media puts on the New York Rangers. Completely different story with the New York Mets. I don't think Trevor Bauer works in New York.
No.
If I'm Trevor, if that kind of personality is not going to, this shouldn't be a thing that keeps some. The problem here is I'm already out on Bauer. So then you add in the fact that that guy is just going to be in the tabloids for. He's like Matt Harvey without the nightlife.
I think Bauer's a little bit better than Matt Harvey.
I'm talking purely from a tabloid perspective.
Got it.
Both of them are good pitchers. Both of them are going to live, or I'm talking about 2015 before Matt
Harvey. The actual Matt Harvey.
Yes. Both of them, Matt Harvey lived in the tabloids in a way that it was annoying. So when Matt Harvey cratered, it was very easy to say goodbye to Matt Harvey.
Exactly.
Trevor Bauer is going to live in the tabloids in New York. And I'm already not a big fan of his on a non-tabloid level.
I go back
and
forth.
So I'd rather just not deal with it.
All right. So now that is, other than Realmuto, is there like another pie in the sky thing that you want to happen? Or is it just you're really interested to see how the process works?
Well, I want to see the Mets use their might in trades again. I want the Mets to... I want the Mets to do what the Dodgers did to get Mookie Betts.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
If Cohen was here a year earlier, we think the Mets would be more than happy to take David Price to bring in Mookie Betts. I want the Mets to live in the Dodgers world now. I don't know who's a big contract on a bad team right now.
There's so
many. It's hard to think of one off the top of my head.
Pujols, get Mike Trout over here.
Oh no I mean if that was possible, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. I know it's
I don't
not
think
possible.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But think of like who's a bloated contract on the Rangers right now.
There's not really too many bloated Ranger contracts. I mean, Stahl,
the Texas Rangers.
Oh, sorry. What was I thinking of?
Hey, if Steve wants, look, you know what Steve should do to win over the New York market? He should go to James Dolan and be like, hey man, I will pay Mark Stahl. Get rid of him.
I was thinking, like
imagine the crossover appeal Steve Cohen would have if he did that.
Miguel Cabrera?
But who's on, who? Who's
yeah, who do you want? Tiger? Nobody.
Yeah.
Literally and nobody.
The Mets already have two first basemen.
Yes.
All but right. They could just
put Miguel Cabrera. I see what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I want them to make a Mookie trade. I want them to get a star pitcher for – basically redo the Diaz trade, right? Get an Edwin Diaz type by also taking on Robinson Cano. But because this time you'll take on all of Cano's contract, so you'll actually not have to give up too much.
Makes sense. All right,
yeah,
man.
That's what I want to see. I want them to re-sign Stroman. I want them to extend Conforto. I want them to possibly extend Syndergaard. And I want them to sign Real Muto.
Legitimate
other
congratulations.
Free agents, I don't care.
Legitimate congratulations.
You've earned it. It's a good
one
of the few times that you can say it's a good day to be a fan of the New York.
Honestly, I when I say you earned it, like it's not in jest. Like Mets fans out there, if you're out there, it's been a
Ryan,
long road.
We put the work in.
Yeah, I know.
We put the fucking work in.
I'm not saying that sarcastically at all. All right, let's end the show. Any other Mets thoughts before we get out of here?
Ooh, I'm ready for the season to be over, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, can I make one more baseball point? Right now, if the playoffs started today, I hate this playoff format. It's first to two, right? It's best of three, I guess what it is. And
yeah.
Today, if you started today, it would be Rays-Yankees. Cool. I want to play Cole. That's awesome.
Let me put it this way. I'm happy that they tried this model once. Mm-hmm. Because the fact that the Mets are something like three games out of a playoff spot right now, that's how I know this is too many teams. This New York Met team doesn't deserve to be sniffing the playoffs. They have two starting pitchers. There's a lot of Michael Wacha. There's a lot of Erasmo Ramirez.
Yes.
That's not a team that should be on the verge of playoff contention with 13 games left.
Right.
So this, I'm happy they've tried it because now we know that this is too many teams.
It's too
the
many.
The Mets shouldn't be in a position to be a playoff team
right now. Eight from each division, each conference is too.
It's too many.
It's too fucking many.
It's too many.
I could deal with six, man. Eight is too.
I think you could talk. You can talk me into six, and you can talk me into it being, just the top two in each division. If you wanted to go that route, make divisions matter so much more.
I'm interested in that. All right, man. Let's end the show. You can follow me on Twitter at @OrionMead. I'm gonna take a Twitter break. I think starting this week. I'm going on vacation next week. Greg and I will still be recording. And then
I basically took a Twitter break over the weekend.
Yeah.
A couple buddies came up. Our friends from colleges came up.
Yep.
And I basically disconnected from Twitter for the weekend, hung out with them, did some shenanigans.
It's a nice refresh.
It's incredible. Yeah. I can't emphasize it more.
We'll still have an episode next week. Greg and I record on Monday. I'm taking off the rest of the week. I'm going to Shenandoah National Park to do some hiking with said wife. So we'll be back next week. Yeah, fun times. We'll be back next week, and we'll talk to you guys then. Follow Greg at Bushwick Break. Follow me at @OrionMead. Bye.